neck. Thanks for fat. I was just thinking that. I was looking in the mirror and I was going, ooh. Check out that scarf neck. And I go, neck. Thanks for fat. That's weird. Are our brains linked over the intercontinental trans cable? I can't believe that when they put a cable down in the ocean, they were like, ah, let's make it a trans cable. Not a normal straight cable. It is News with Nick. 1/1/18. That means it's January 11, 2018. And this is the show where I read my mail. Over the past 3 years, the city has been contracted with CAI Technologies on a remapping project. During this time, extensive research has been completed, including reviewing plans, surveys, and deeds as the entire city has been remapped. Every parcel has been given a new ID number, and every parcel has been recompiled based on best known and available materials. At the bottom of this notice, you'll find the current parcel ID number and current acreage, along with a new parcel ID number and new preliminary acreage for your parcel. The city's mapping contractor will have representatives available at the following places and times to answer your questions. Please note, specific appointments are not being made. So, my old parcel had 0.55 acres, and my new parcel has 0.59 acres. So just like Bitcoin, I've earned 0.04 acres of land that they can now say is worth more money, and I can pay more taxes on dirt. I don't do anything with that. It just sits there. One time there was a deer on it. But other than that, it's like sometimes I go up there and I go, what? I keep forgetting that I own this. I walk around. I'm like, that's weird. Guess I own it. Sometimes I rub my trees. Like, oh, hello, trees. I like you. Chat says it's cis cable. I don't get it. I mean, I do get it, but is that like a pun? Cis cable? All right. Hello, video version of the show. Remember to start the recording. I am back for a news show. I did have a mental breakdown on the live stream during the after show, so that was pretty fun. Sorry about that. I do apologize for that. I was drunk and kind of got upset at a thing that I didn't want to, that I was all like on the fence about talking about anyway because it sounded stupid. So I was like, I'll just take this out on the rest of the hosts and quit the show. But, you know, little do you know, joke's on you. That was just all a setup, and it was scripted just so that everyone would get all dramatic and stuff, right? Okay, so Bad Baby is back with a new song. As you guys know, this is Daniel Bregoli.
Both of them. Yo, X is on my dick. I say both of them. Bentley truck, Panamera. I own both of them. Young and rich in the mirror. I see both of them. From the courtroom to fame and fortune, yeah, I see both of them. Tallahassee and Calabasas.
I'm not really sure what she's saying.
Rich in the mirror. I see both
but
of them.
In this video, she like digs up a. She's got a shovel out in the desert. And she digs the smallest hole ever and, like, buries a body or something. I don't even see how that works. But anyway, so like her or not, there's some uplifting news about Daniel Bregoli. Here is the video of her. She says, Mama, don't worry. Just paid off your mortgage. Merry Christmas to all you bitches. She posts on Instagram, I think it is.
Merry Christmas, bitch. Here you go.
She's holding the camera like selfie style, so she has to hand the card behind her to her mom. Oh. Her mom's opening it.
Are you serious?
Are you serious? Oh, it's so sweet.
Merry Christmas, bitch.
Her face is so funny when she hands it back. Like, yeah, I am the best. Here's $65,000. And on the next screen is actually the check. $65,271 from Danielle Brigoli to her mother. And the card says, "And the biggest hug, too. Love you, Mom." And it's a pop-out card. Ooh, wait. It's signed. "Thanks for everything. Use this whenever to pay off the mortgage," it says. Oh, she signed it "Bad Baby" at the end. Amazing. What if her mom... I bet you her mom was in on this the whole time, too. "Hey, Mom, if I beat you up and we go on that show, I'm going to be the most popular singer of all time." We've got another update, folks. South Florida teen accused of posing as doctor pleads guilty. This is only 3 days, or no, 5 days old now. Malachi Love Robinson will serve 42 months in prison. West Palm Beach man accused of posing as a doctor when he was a teenager and stealing money from an elderly woman has agreed to a plea deal. Malachi Love Robinson, 20, pleaded guilty Thursday to multiple felony charges, including grand theft and practicing medicine without a license. So I do have the plea deal here. And apparently they come in yellow. So Malachi Alexander Love Robinson pleads guilty to like 7 different charges. Incarceration for 42 months, which is count one has a 3-year mandatory minimum, it says. So what's 3 years? That's 36 months. So Malachi Love Robinson will be in jail until he's like 23. However, when you put it that way, it doesn't seem that bad. Ooh, 23. He'll still be like, he'll still have plenty of years to become a real doctor after that. Deputies say Love Robinson operated the New Birth, New Life Medical Center and Urgent Care Office at 4700. The website listed Love Robinson as a doctor, even though he wasn't licensed by the Florida Department of Health. So, all right. Love that guy. Love Robinson examined lungs, hearts, and legs before diagnosing an elderly woman with arthritis and selling her natural vitamins. Hmm. That seems like about what a normal doctor would do, though. It's probably fine. Next story. This is huge. So we're going through the stories pretty quick. This might be a quick show. I didn't have a whole lot, but did want to do a show. Huge mudslides happening out in California. This started yesterday. And so they've got all these hills, and there's mud on them. And it starts raining, and then mud slides or something. You grab your surfboard, you go up, you're like, "Come on, mud. Come on, mud." That's also what I do in the bathroom at the airport. I'm in the stall, and I go, "Come on, mud."
Many are still trying to reach new areas and dig into the destruction to find survivors. Officials say at least 15 people are confirmed dead, and that number may rise. Around 25 others were injured. More than 20 people are unaccounted for.
This is crazy. Like, it looks like a normal flood. You know how you see aerial photos of floods and the water goes up to the garage doors of these houses, like halfway up? Except it looks like that, only it's not water. It's just dirt. And now people are walking on it. Like, aren't you scared it's going to be quicksand? Walking along, he's like, "Oh, God, I'm stuck."
Over 50 people had to be airlifted to safety after being stranded in their homes for hours. Officials estimate only 10 to 15% of people living in the mandatory evacuation zone actually complied. Emergency responders say within 3 hours, they received more than 600.
So wait, did they know to evacuate before the mud started sliding? So they say, "The mud's going to slide. Evacuate." Or did the mud slide and then they go, "Oh, the mud is sliding. Evacuate." And how fast does the mud slide? I didn't do very much research here. How fast was the California mudslide? Ooh, here's an article. Why California's mudslides are so devastating. So we'll learn a little bit here. In these mountains, we go from 3,000 feet to sea level in sometimes just 4 or 5 miles. That means mudslides and rock slides happen quickly and with great intensity. Mud came in an instant. It's like a dam breaking. It surrounded the house 2 to 3 feet. Ooh. Ben Hyatt said his house was engulfed in a flash. Okay, so it's not slow. It's not like the lava in Volcano. It's like, it's coming! Set up the barriers! No, it apparently happens quickly. Let's see if this video has a victim who was swept away and their vehicle was located. I mean, I guess it just looks like running water, but there's mud mixed in. California has suffered from years of drought. Ironically, the rain currently deluging the area is actually needed to grow the vegetation and help prevent mudslides. Okay, right. So you've got a hill and there's no vegetation on it. Now, if I've got a hill and I need vegetation, I just go to the grocery store and I get Veggie Lovers, those pre-mixed salads, and then you sprinkle that on the hill, and then you're fine. Okay, so then all of the mud slides, and then it engulfs your house. Like, what would you do? You're just like, well, it's not like you can get a shovel and just shovel the mud away. Is the house ruined? Is the whole neighborhood, like, done? Do you just build a new neighborhood on top of the mud? I don't get it. Let's watch this.
100 calls for help.
Kara Finstrom from our Los Angeles station, KCBS, joins us now from Montecito. Kara, you're on the 101 freeway, which is now closed. Walk us through the extent of the damage you're seeing.
That is a long delay between New York and California, by the way.
Yeah, not very often that you can stand on the 101, but it is completely shut down between Ventura and Santa Barbara. And they're working to get stretches of it reopened. But at this point, some are like this. Let me let you push in there and give you a better look. Just covered with mud. Oh. And it gets thicker as you head in. We did catch up with one man this morning who tried.
Oh, she just said, I'm going to let you push in there. And it gets thicker as you go in. It's covered in mud.
Tried to walk further down to where you see those lights down there. He was up to his knees in mud, and there are some abandoned vehicles that are just stranded there, stuck in the mud further down. So they've had heavy equipment coming in here all night long trying to clear this mud out, just shove it to the sides, especially so that these emergency vehicles can get through and help the folks out in Montecito.
You know, when I heard that only a small portion of the people in the evacuation area decided to leave, I was sort of dumb.
I like it when anchors are like, you know what I heard? Blah, 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 blah. Right? Just guessing. Here's an aerial shot again. It's just tons of cars and houses just surrounded.
Weary, rather.
By that funny word.
Of all of the evacuations that we have had to have because of the fires and a lot of the problems that have plagued Southern California over the last year. So some folks did not want to leave. However, we really saw how quickly that the situation changed here when the rains came down so hard and those hillsides gave way, how important it is to evacuate when those orders are given.
Yeah.
So they did know. They did know the mud was coming, and they said evacuate, and they didn't do it. Wow, I can't believe it. That's crazy. Any other information about the mudslides? Ooh, here's some pictures of before and after, but it's just, I don't know. That before after isn't even from the same angle. So I was on my way home from Grand Rapids, and my plane got delayed in Chicago, so I had like an extra hour. And there's also this thing where sometimes you fly from Michigan to Chicago, and they're actually in different time zones, so you get an extra hour anyway. But you got to keep close watch of your watch, right? Well, I guess if your watch says 1 p.m., it's really noon, so you would be early for your flight. Anyway, so it's getting delayed, so I'm like, I'll go to one of those restaurants, right? One of those airport restaurants. So I go in, they've got like one table open for me. And so they put me at a small table, get a wrap and a beer. And these wraps, they are the smallest amount of food that is cut diagonally, like at the highest angle possible to make it look like more food is there, right? Not a big deal. So I eat it and I drink my beer. And the waitress comes over and she's like, do you need another beer? And I go, well, I would, but I'm looking out and it looks like there's other, like I said, there's only one table available. So it looks like there's other people want to come in and get a table. So I go, nah, I'll take off. So I'll clear your table for you because I'm a nice man. And the waitress, she's like, I don't know, 48 and pretty, pretty dark. I don't know what that has to do with anything. Just painting a picture here. And she goes, okay. And so she walks away. And several minutes later, she comes back and she goes, you're all set. And I go, no, I didn't pay anything yet. And she goes, I don't know. Someone paid it for you. And I go, what? I'm so confused right now. What would you do? A waitress walks up and says, someone paid your bill for you. So I'm like, no, that doesn't make any sense. She's like, yeah, someone paid it. And she's being very vague about information. And I go, what are you talking about? Someone paid it and they left. And I go, okay, what do I do now? She's like, I don't know. You're all set. Bye. I'm like, no. What? And I like start grilling her. I'm like, what are you talking about? Was it a man? And she goes, no, it wasn't a man. I'm like, what? She's like, I don't know. They paid it and left. I don't know what's going on. She's being very dodgy about the question. And then her story starts changing. And she goes, it's not in my system. Someone took care of it. I guess it must have been because they thought your beer wasn't too high. I go, my beer wasn't too high. Right? I guess she means your beer wasn't too expensive. But I'm like, but I got also a wrap. She's like, yeah, they took care of that too. I'm like, no. Do I have to have sex with someone now or what? I didn't ask that out loud to her, but that would be funny. And so I don't know what's going on. She's like, no, well, it's not in my system, so it's taken care of. But now she's saying it's just not in her system. And then she's saying, I don't know who took care of it. So whatever. I'm like, okay. I stood up and I'm like, well, all right. And then I gave $3 to the hostess and left. And like, well, this was for my waitress. I don't know who it was because they all look the same. But I didn't say that either. But I'm sure you guys will figure it out. But it was true. I couldn't figure it out. Because they were all the same skinny, older, dark lady. So I don't know what happened. I was so confused. I was walking around like, what's going on? So my theory, I don't know. My theory is that, now why would the waitress do that? Right? But she was acting all like she knew something, but then pretended not to know something. Or my other theory is that she screwed up and she deleted the charge or something, or forgot to put it in the first place and just played it off like, someone paid it. And I don't know. This never happened before. The only thing that's close to that happening was there was one time I was with people at Friendly's, right? Hello, we are Friendly. Nick, don't say anything about the Friendly's waitress. What? I wasn't thinking that. You were thinking that. We were at Friendly's and we go to pay and they go, actually, we mixed up the bills and the other table paid your bill and it was higher than this one. So do you want to pay their bill? And we go, sure. Now, wait a minute. Now that I'm thinking of that, what if it wasn't higher and they just said that? Because if it were me, I'd definitely be like, oh, yeah, it definitely was higher. You're getting a deal because we messed up. I have no memory. So the people who work there mixed up the bills. The other table didn't even look at it, apparently. And was just like, oh, sure. I don't know.
Imagine thinking you won the lottery on Christmas Day, no less, only to find out you didn't. It was a computer glitch.
I said, I won. Yeah, I won. And then my sister got there, and she was like, I won, too. The next morning, we're trying to cash them in.
Oh, my God. I haven't even seen this. What is it with us having stories about this type of person having won a huge lottery or casino winning? Remember the lady? I'm going to stake her a steak dinner or something. For some unlucky South Carolina residents, what seemed to be a winning Christmas lottery ticket turned out to be a lump of coal. Oh, CNN, you got the greatest writers. A programming error in a lottery game that lasted for more than 2 hours generated an overabundance of winning tickets, prompting the game's suspension and investigation, officials said Wednesday. Why is officials said Wednesday a link? Oh, it's a link to the official site. Oh, we can read the official statement. Here it is. The South Carolina Education Lottery's computer system vendor, Intralot, experienced a programming error on Christmas Day that impacted holiday pay, holiday cash at a play tickets. A $1 terminal generated instant game from 5:51 p.m. to 7:53 p.m. The same play symbol was repeated in all 9 available play areas on the ticket, which would result in a top prize of $5,000. So it's like you're playing slots, and the slots always keep showing jackpot, 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 jackpot every single time you go in. Remember Sonic 2 and the Casino Zone? No more than 5 identical play symbols should appear for a single play. So it's proof that it was a mess up because 5 would be the most you could get, but they were getting 9. It was just repeating the same graphic over and over again. As soon as the issue was identified, the add-a-play game was suspended immediately to conduct a thorough investigation. Instant scratch tickets and all other lottery games were not affected by this error. Holiday cash add-a-play game sales and validations will remain suspended until further notice. So Intralot, that is the name of the company. A global leader, your licensed partner. Ooh. So they've got a... They're a programming company, and they're using Flash on their website. It says, click to enable Flash Player. No wonder they suck. We turn dreams into games. 600 unique games for our games library. 300 tailor-made games offered around the world. Game product planning in 15 countries on a yearly basis. This is not the greatest website I've ever seen. It still says copyright 2016 at the bottom. Wow. These are the people programming your lottery. Unbelievable. Let's go back to the story. The snafu affected the holiday cash add-a-play tickets. The $1 terminal generated instant game offering. The same play symbol was repeated. Okay, so it was a graphical issue. They just kept playing the same logo over and over again, like it was supposed to mix up the picture. Let's hear some more information from this lady with these hair things.
1, 2. The next morning, we're trying to cash them in. We can't cash them in. So, and that hurt a lot of people.
My heart just felt in my stomach. Oh, Lord, you know what? I spent my last $4.
Oh, what? What? I did not see this video before the show. Why is... I spent my last $4 on lottery tickets, and I won $500, I thought, but then I didn't. Oh, no.
Heart just felt in my stomach. Oh, Lord, you know what? I spent my last $4.
The glitch who stole Christmas, indeed. South Carolina lottery officials say the game was programmed.
There is the picture. It's like a 3x3 grid, and it's a Christmas tree on all of them.
The glitch who stole Christmas, indeed. South Carolina lottery officials say the game was programmed incorrectly, so the computer spit out too many winners. The top prize for each ticket, $500. That game is now shut down. Lottery reps aren't sure how many tickets were sold, but if you have one, they say, hold on to it while they investigate.
How embarrassing for whatever programmer that was. And how embarrassing for that lady that spent her last $4 on a lottery ticket. Oh, my goodness. Here's a big story that's going around the news recently. Daisha Hargrave couldn't believe her Louisiana school district superintendent was slated to get a raise while teachers like herself struggled, so she spoke up at a school board meeting. "You're making your job even more difficult," she told the school board. "A superintendent for any person in position of leadership getting any type of raise, I feel like it's a slap in the face to all the teachers, cafeteria workers, and other support staff we have." All right, so this lady, she's at a normal school board meeting, just like any town you could go to. It's pretty full, but it's a small room. The last exciting thing that happened at a school board meeting was that guy that pulled out the gun and was like, "Oh yeah, everyone, clear the room." And then he tried to shoot someone point blank range and missed 3 times. So here she is, she's standing up.
"Kids in a class, and now there's 29 kids in a class that we are now having, and we have not gotten raises. How are you going to take that money? Because it's basically taking out of the pockets of teachers.
Stop right now.
I have a hammer. and I will hit this, and I will tell you to stop.
It's not germane to what's on the agenda tonight.
Yes, it is.
Yes, it is.
Come on now.
How are you going
if
to take?
What's on the agenda is a superintendent's contract.
With a raise.
With a raise.
Well, that's not talking about the raise.
Everyone in the audience is just like, yeah, she's right. But she was the first one to say anything.
I am. I'm saying, how are you taking the raise when you're
shame.
Basically taking from the teachers and employees under you when we have class sizes that are that big? This directly speaks to what you are you have just voted on.
Just our brave.
Oh, now here comes a cop. So without the people in the school board going, please remove her, this darker cop comes over and starts to corner her.
Mm-hmm. A year ago, I presented to this board. Thank you all very much.
Anybody else?
The cop says, "You gotta go," and he starts to point her out the door.
Excuse me, officer. Can I not stay in when I'm being spoken to?
Anybody?
You're
gonna leave, or I'm gonna remove you.
Cop says, "You're gonna leave, or I'm gonna remove you."
Yeah.
He's reaching for his. I don't know what he's reaching for. I don't think it's his gun.
Are you serious? I hope somebody has this on video.
I mean, really.
Excuse me.
I have
is it against
chair.
Policy
yes.
to stay in?
Like
do not.
Oh, start scrapping her. Ooh, there's that gavel again.
This is the most disgraceful in this.
All right, so she starts walking out, right?
I want another comment.
A comment.
But she wasn't talking to you. She was talking to
it was a. It was comments for the superintendent.
I don't want the audience commenting without being recognized.
She was recognized.
By you.
And yeah.
He was speaking to me directly.
All right, so she's very mad. So she starts walking out. And she walks out on her own. The cop does not have to drag her out or anything. And then they get to the door.
To the public.
He did not.
Are you putting your handcuffs right now?
No. Oh, my God. Let's go see this.
No. The guy with the camera's like, ooh, let's go see this. So
this
apparently, after they got out the door... The cop handcuffs her.
Are you kidding me?
Stop resisting.
I am not. Just pushed me to the floor. Sir, hold on. I am way smaller than you.
For like no reason. I don't understand. And then they get outside and he says something like, I arrested you because you disobeyed me or something.
I gave you many lawful orders to leave.
And that's exactly what I was
doing. You did not.
You did not leave? I gave you lawful orders to leave, and you did not leave, even though she left eventually. And then he handcuffed her for retroactively not leaving the first time? Very strange. So everyone's up in arms about this. Because it went viral. So this is obviously just a small town school board meeting. But now this one thing happened with this one black cop. And now everyone's... up in arms going, oh, I can't believe it. So it's getting a lot of press. And it's cool. This could happen to any small town. It happens to ours all the time. A man turned in his teenage son after finding inappropriate pictures of a toddler on his phone.
Again soon, Steve. Thank you. An O'Fallon, Missouri man turned his own teenage son into police after finding inappropriate pictures of a toddler on his son's phone. Prosecutors have charged this man, 17-year-old Andrew Spenceberger, with possession of child pornography.
Spenceberger? I'd have one Spenceberger and one order of those tater tots.
The two pictures of a 2-year-old found on his phone are reportedly a relative of his father's girlfriend. Investigators say Spenceberger planned to sell the pictures. A pet shelter and...
a pet shelter? Spenceberger's bond was set at $10,000. I'd like to have Spenceberger on this show and see, like, what are you doing? He looks pretty funny. A former Charles County school assistant who officials said is HIV positive, accused of sexually victimizing 42 juveniles, has pleaded guilty. Charles County officials said a 30-year-old Carlos Bell pleaded guilty to 27 counts of sexual abuse of a minor, along with a slew of other serious crimes, being indicted on 206 charges. He will be sentenced to 190 years in prison.
Definitely rocked the entire community here. 30-year-old Carlos Bell pled guilty this afternoon to 27 counts of sexual abuse of a minor on top of other serious charges here as well. And we're told that he will be sentenced to 190 years in prison. Now, according to the state's attorney's office here, the decision not to go to trial and instead to accept a plea agreement or a plea deal in this case was based on not having the victims testify in court and relive that pain all over again. Keep in mind here, investigators say this man is accused of sexually abusing dozens of children here in Charles County. Wow. Not to mention, they say he was not wearing protection and he tested positive for HIV. Now, as you mentioned, investigators say that this all happened between May of 2015 and June of 2017 while he was an instructional assistant and track coach at the Charles County Public School District.
I don't get it. He says he abused several people at his home and possibly other locations between 2015 and 2017 and was not wearing protection. Who says? The kids? What do they know? Right? Wow. Unbelievable. How would he do that so many times? We're just going through a whole bunch of random... Here's a link on the side here. Burglar breaks into home and sexually assaults 8-year-old? How old is this story? Oh, 3 days. Let's see what this video
has. KTVU's Paul Chambers went to that Runnard Park neighborhood to see how residents are coping.
This man, 21-year-old Noah Holland, is behind bars after Roanoke Park police say he broke into a home and sexually assaulted an 8-year-old child.
It's scary, you know, because all the neighbors here, they know each other. There's always kids running around, so.
There's no room on this earth for people trying to hurt children. And
investigators say Holland went.
That was a pretty deep statement by that guy.
Into the family's unlocked vehicle and used their garage door opener to enter the home. Police say Holland went into the child's room, took off his clothes, and climbed on top of her while she was asleep. The child's mother told police that once her 8-year-old daughter woke up, she screamed. Holland then ran from the house, leaving his clothes and identification behind.
What? Oh my God. What an idiot. Do you not plan this out? He's like, okay, I'm going to take off all my clothes, and then I'm going to do a thing. But he doesn't account for the fact that the person will probably scream? And then now he has to run from the house completely nude down the street, leaving. And then he's lost like $50 worth of clothes, too.
Can't even imagine the terror to walk into something like that. And it just shouldn't happen in a small community like this.
Nobody ever thinks it's going to happen to them. But the truth is there's bad people everywhere.
And yeah, his ID was literally with his clothes when he ran away. People are idiots. My goodness. Speaking of lotteries, we did have a lottery winner here. A single Powerball ticket sold in New Hampshire won Saturday's jackpot worth $559 million. There was no immediate word onto who holds the ticket or where it was sold. Well, now we do know it was sold other side of the state. There was also a winning ticket, blah, blah, blah. That's the end of the story. This never happens, though. You never wake up in the morning and you go, do, 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 do. Like you're waking up to the radio. It's like the winning lottery ticket was sold, and it's always somewhere not in the state. But no, we now have a multi billionaire out of my state. So that's pretty cool. Okay, so earlier this week, I went and I looked at my clock on the wall. Actually, this was like over the weekend. And my analog clock, it was battery powered. It was off by about like 15 minutes ahead, right? And it still is. It's like, that's weird. It makes sense that my clock would be off by an hour, because it sometimes is off by an hour because of the daylight savings, and I'm too lazy to pull it off the wall, fix it, and put it back up. But it's off by, like, 15 minutes. And I'm like, oh, well. And then I go into work, and at two different clocks at work, both analog battery-powered clocks have been off, like, ahead by 15 minutes or something. Because I went in, and it was 8:03, and I looked at the clock, and it said 8:18 or something. I was like, whoa, I'm that late? I know I'm normally late, but I didn't know I was that late. And then I looked at the real clock, and it said 8:03. It's like, oh, okay, I'm not late. Why would multiple analog clocks all be off at the same time? Has anyone else had this? And if it actually happened, how would anyone notice? Like, if we all went to sleep and we woke up and all of the digital clocks were 15 minutes behind all of the battery-powered analog clocks, and by analog, I mean the one with the arm that goes around, who would anyone notice? Did time mess up and we all like got stuck for 15 minutes? Because the digital clocks would be run off the... I don't know. I have no clue what's happening. Maybe it was just a coincidence. But it's freaking me out that a couple different clocks were off by the same amount and they were the same type of clock. Like, maybe there was this energy that made all batteries go supercharged for a second, and so all of the battery-powered clocks went woo, like went super fast. Did anyone else have this happen, like, in the past week and a half, where your analog clock was just suddenly 15 minutes ahead? Because if so, we're going to need to start investigating that we might have had a simulation glitch. Chat? The chat says, yeah, maybe the analog clocks were off your phone clock. Maybe your phone clock was off, but the analog clocks were correct. No, all of the digital clocks agreed, like my watch, my phone, my computer. Those all agreed, and then the analog clocks were ahead by a little bit. So very strange. Ooh, this is a good story. This happened last week. 16-year-old New Jersey boy gunned down his parents, sister, and family just before midnight on New Year's Eve.
The 16-year-old suspect is scheduled to appear in court actually right now, sometime between 10 and 10:30 this morning.
I'm done with that. A 16-year-old New Jersey boy gunned down his parents, sister, and family, and a family friend just before midnight on New Year's Eve, turning the family home into a bloodbath that his brother and grandfather managed to escape. The teenager shot and killed his father, mother, sister, and a family friend who also lived in Long Beach, New Jersey home. Police were called to the home around 11:43 p.m., and the suspect was taken into custody without incident. Can you imagine being the police? You get there, you're like, oh my goodness, happy New Year to you too! If you're a cop and the New Year comes, you can't, and you're doing something, you can't just be like, oh guys, 11:59, stop cleaning up the murder scene, and 5, 4, Happy New Year. All right, keep cleaning up the murder scene. You just got to keep doing your normal job as it ticks over to the new year. Isn't that weird? We are confident this is a domestic incident and completely isolated. The boy's name was not released because he was a juvenile. However, here's all his family's names: Stephen, Linda, Brittany, Mary. Mary Schultz was 70. The suspect's brother and grandfather were also in the home at the time of the shooting, but were able to escape unharmed. The teenager was believed to have used a Sentry-Arms semi-automatic assault rifle to gun down his family members, but there's no information as to why he did this. The Kalogis were very caring, loving people, and always looking to do fun things with their kids. He was a good kid. He was a little, you know, slow with learning disabilities, but he knows right from wrong. Oh, so he had that autism. We are shocked and saddened by the reports of the death of freshman Brittany under such tragic circumstances. Blah, blah, blah. So there's no information really on why he did this. An older brother of the suspected shooter posted a touching tribute to his slain family on Instagram, calling his parents the greatest parents I could ask for. Ooh, let's see what it says. Nah. Not that interesting. It says, never once was I without a hot meal or a roof over my head. They made sure Christmas came every year, although they struggled financially. I cannot even describe the type of people they were, so just believe me when I say how great they were. I don't know. Maybe he was in on it. Why wasn't he there? Huh? The brother was not there to get shot? Or was he the guy with the grandpa? Hang on. Suspect's brother and grandfather. Ooh, okay. So I wonder if he only has one brother. Hopefully we'll get some new updates coming up as to why that happened. Yep, there's another one. Oh, I had a couple links, I guess, of that same story. The Jersey teen who was accused of shooting these people was ordered to remain in custody. Well, yeah. We're pretty sure you shot everyone, but I think you can get out. A Vancouver Island man says he is uncomfortable with the level of nudity in the men's changing room. Good. A Vancouver Island man is concerned. Norm Waddle lives in Duncan and receives physiotherapy at the Cowichan Aquatic Center. He says the men's changing room is constantly filled with elderly men who indulge in excessive nudity. I can't believe this is making the news, but it should. He acknowledged that the men are not engaged in any unlawful activities that he is aware of, but said that the change rooms are for the public and people using the rooms should feel comfortable in them. Waddle said that he spoke to officials at the facility about his concerns, but was told that management was not aware of what legally constitutes excessive nudity in the change rooms. Well, we're going to need to get a bill started. If you are nude and you are not taking any actions toward getting... if you're nude, your first priority should be getting unnude or jerking. But if you're jerking, that is illegal, I think. Because that is not appropriate for the changing room. So, by process of elimination, your first priority should be getting unnude. So if you're nude and you're taking any actions that are not related to you getting unnude, like grabbing underwear or sliding your legs into those underwear holes, if you're standing there shaving... if you're talking, if you're doing anything other than getting unnude, you are illegal. And I'm going to write that bill. I'm going to post it up to the House. I don't think it's right that these men make it so uncomfortable for others with their nudity. He said, I have a son who is not comfortable with it either. Don't talk to me or my son ever again. I have a son who is not comfortable with it either. There are separate cubicles and shower stalls in the change room, so these men should be made to use them. That is true. There are change rooms, but no. I got to change right in the middle. The mayor said that the municipality does occasionally receive complaints from people who are offended by others in the change rooms, but he said he can't understand why someone would take exception to people's nakedness as they change from street clothes to swimming gear in preparation to enter the pool. That's not what he's complaining about. He's complaining about a man who takes off his wet swimwear and goes, ah, yeah, that's nice. Get me one of them fans. And he stands in front of the fan for 20 minutes. People changing from clothes to bathing suits is part of using the pool. They're not changing. I mean, they are changing, but they're doing it so slowly. For people who are sensitive, we have separate cubicles and showers that they can use by themselves. Yeah? Do they have blindfolds? Do they have... a little rope that you can close your eyes and then guide yourself through? Because if so, don't use it because you might accidentally grab something that's not rope. Ew. An Alabama man has been accused of repeatedly sexually molesting a horse after its owner believes she found evidence of his crimes left behind in the barn stall. Daniel Bennett, 18, of Irvington. Irvington what? Oh, Alabama. Right. I'm an idiot. Is awaiting trial. Of course it is. As awaiting trial after he allegedly told Mobile County Sheriff Office investigators he attempted to molest a horse. AL.com reported. Oh, wait. Let's read it straight from AL.com. Ooh, I should have gotten the court documents here. 18-year-old Daniel Bennett was caught in the horse's stable Thursday night, investigators with the Mobile County Sheriff's Office say, and confessed to attempting to molest a horse. The victim and owner of the affected horse, a 20-year-old mare. Whoa! Horses live for 20 years? I thought they raced. Like, once they turned one, I thought they raced. And once they turned two, I thought they retired. So they can live for 20 years? Told investigators she suspected the horse's stall had been tampered with several times throughout December. Bennett has been charged with possession of burglar tools, sexual misconduct, and second-degree criminal trespassing. Now, the official warrant for Bennett's arrest lists the crime as bestiality as a misdemeanor, alleging that Bennett engaged in or submitted to any sexual contact with an animal, to wit, a horse. Bennett appeared in court Thursday, where he was scheduled to begin trial on January 18th. Let's see if I can find the court document. Sorry, Chad, this may take a second. Nope, couldn't find anything, so that's cool. I wish they would publish these court documents. Owner Francine Jane said her husband, who was armed with a gun, reportedly found Bennett hiding in the barn stall. Upon being found, James said that he told her that he likes horses. He wanted to pet the horse. Well, that's fair, right? You're allowed to break into someone else's barn and pet a horse. He was held at gunpoint by the husband until police arrived. Police reportedly discovered that Bennett had a trench coat with a burglar's tools in it. And by burglar's tools, they probably mean like a lockpick at most, or a bolt cutter. Janes doesn't believe this is the first time Bennett has inappropriately interacted with the horse. She told investigators she found what she believes to be evidence in Polly's stall multiple times throughout the month of December. What evidence? I would say maybe 7 to 10 times. Toilet paper has been left. The haystacks have been removed. Removed? Items had been turned over, and that's as far as I want to go. Bennett's arrest warrants list his crimes of bestiality, blah, blah, blah. Okay. Toilet paper. Here's a quick one. A man in Spain who was declared dead by three doctors was actually still alive. Doctors discovered only when he began snoring on the autopsy table. The man, 29-year-old Gonzalo Montoya Jimenez, was a prisoner at a jail. He was found unconscious in his cell, was believed to be dead. Three forensic doctors allegedly examined him and certified his death. What if it was like the first one did it, and there's like, guys, I'm going to need 2 sign-offs. Can you come check? And they're like, yeah, I'm sure he's dead. They sign it off. 4 hours later, right before his autopsy, he was heard making noises on the autopsy tables and found to still be alive. He had marks painted on to guide the autopsy. He has now regained consciousness and is in intensive care. So normally when this happens, yeah, someone quote-unquote dies, right? But they wake up. They don't normally just wake up and go, ah, I'm back. I'm ready to go for a jog. They're usually still in pretty bad shape, and they oftentimes just re-die a bit later. A person may be declared dead when one of 2 things happens. Their heart stops beating and doesn't start again, or they are brain dead. A person is considered brain dead when there's no neurological activities, blah, blah, blah. Doctors perform several tests to determine if someone is brain dead. Should we be, like, shooting dead people just to be sure? Like, all right. Well, I guess they harvest their organs, so for the most part, you probably can't be alive after a while. But still, shoot them a bunch of times and be like, okay. Just making sure that they don't come back to life as a zombo. Jet Airways has decided to terminate the employment of 2 employees who got in a heated in-flight fight on New Year's Day, during which the male co-pilot allegedly slapped his female commander and later left the cockpit completely unattended. On January 1st, there was an altercation which occurred shortly after takeoff. The male co-pilot allegedly slapped the female commander. So there's a female commander. I'm not sure that gender has anything to do with this story, except for that. After that happened, she left the cockpit and she stood in the gallery sobbing. The cabin crew tried to comfort her and send her back to the cockpit, but in vain. The male co-pilot, still in the cockpit, then called out over the intercom for her to return to the controls. When she wouldn't, the co-pilot violated aviation safety rules and exited the cockpit himself, effectively leaving no one at the controls to persuade her to return. So he goes, yeah, bitch, I can't believe you did that last night. Slap. She goes, oh, I'm so sad because I'm a woman. Level 1, I get it. I'm going to cry instead of flying the plane. And then he goes and like, oh, great, I upset a woman. Now I got to go comfort her. So he goes out. Now no one's flying the plane. It's just flying on its own. The woman reportedly returned to the cockpit with the co-pilot, only to exit again a little while later. So they're having a relationship fight or something. This time, the plane's crew was quite afraid of what was happening between the 2 senior commanders, as were the passengers in the cabin. So yeah, the only 2 people that know how to fly the plane or land it safely are just having an emotional meltdown. The flight crew eventually managed to coax the woman back into the captain's seat, and the plane landed safely in Mumbai just after midnight. The airline later confirmed that both pilots were reported to India's Directorate of General Civil Aviation over the misunderstanding on the flight, but claimed that the altercation was resolved amicably. That's nice that they were able to have relationship canceling in the air. You know, nothing will bring 2 people together like going, if we don't come together, 200 people are going to die, right? Unless they wanted they were in on it together. They wanted to crash that thing. Jonathan Hightower and LaShonda Fisher, 28, were arrested Sunday for public lewdness. For this Class A misdemeanor, The couple could be fined up to $4,000 and receive a jail sentence for up to a year. Is there a video? Ooh, there might be a video. Oh, that has nothing to do with the story. God damn it. This Texas couple was arrested on New Year's Eve for engaging in oral sex at a booth in a popular Mexican restaurant. On Saturday, police were called to the Baby Acapulaga restaurant in North Austin when the restaurant manager noticed the couple in the lewd position. When police arrived at the scene around 10:24 p.m., please be detailed. A security officer at the restaurant said the couple had fled the scene and went inside a nearby 7-Eleven. Eventually, police found the couple and arrest was made. During the investigation, police spoke to witnesses who said they saw Hightower and Fisher engage in oral sex for about 5 minutes. According to the arrest affidavit, their descriptions matched. So the girl drinks, right? And the guy's like, yeah, put that face down in his lap. And she did it for 5 minutes. That doesn't seem that bad. They're going to arrest someone over that? Puke was caught in a forest, reportedly said that he likes trees, and he was petting them, the chat says. You guys see this video? So it's a, this happened this week on Jeopardy. This happens from time to time where a person says an answer, but then they have to go backwards and take the answer back because they decide it was wrong. So here's what happened.
Now, a song by Coolio from Dangerous Minds goes back in time to become a 1667 John Milton classic.
So the category is that there's two answers, and they mix together to form. It's like in Wheel of Fortune before and after, where the first two words are a statement and the second two words are a statement, but all three words together share the same middle word. I don't know if that made any sense. So the clue is...
A song by Coolio from Dangerous Minds goes back in time to become a 1667 John Milton classic. Nick.
What is Gangster's Paradise Lost?
Yes.
Okay, so they're saying, okay, the Coolio song, Gangster's Paradise, goes back in time, and Paradise Lost is the poem or the story from way back then. And then, so they say, oh, yeah, that's correct.
Lost.
Oops, yes. Let's go back.
Nick.
What is Gangster's Paradise Lost?
Yes. Our judges have reevaluated one of your responses a few moments ago, Nick. You said gangsters instead of gangstas on that song by Coolio. So we take 3,200 away from you. So you are now in second place. Lisa, you have the lead.
He said hard R gangster. So they said that is not correct. Taking away your money.
Gangster's Paradise Lost. What is Gangster's Paradise Lost?
Yes.
Well, anyway, he ended up still winning Jeopardy, but the internet was like, well, I can't believe this. They are kind of really picky about this, but that's a little weird because I think he said gangsters because a white man, he is the skinniest, nerdiest white man, by the way, wouldn't ever say gangsta. We're physically unable to say the word gangsta, and yet it's racism that you would take. Like, that's our white accent, right? But so you take away money because we can't say gangsta? Unbelievable. Jeopardy, white racism, confirmed. Well, I think that's about it for the stories here. We are coming up on 1 hour. The college football reporter was found unharmed Monday morning, police said, 36 hours after she vanished and told friends she had been followed home by a suspicious man. Very strange story going on here. Courtney Rowland disappeared late Saturday after covering a Texas A&M elite football camp at the Heights area of Houston, her family said in a social media post. We believe she was confused because of a reaction to medications she had been taking. That's always the excuse. I was confused on medication? They said Rowland was discovered at around 8:15 a.m. Monday morning. Disappeared Saturday night. Appeared Monday morning by a citizen who said she was passing underneath an overpass walking toward Chick-fil-A. Police sent units to the area and found Rowland at the Chick-fil-A parking lot. Said she was having trouble with her memory. She doesn't remember everything. I think in her state of confusion, she was kind of lost track of time. I don't think she was aware that she was being looked at as a missing person.
Saturday night in the Sunday morning, Courtney Rowland went... We believe she was confused because of a reaction to medications that she'd been taking. We believe.
By medication, do you mean she took a whole bunch of heroin? Is that what you mean?
believe that she was looking for her phone, but because of the because she was in a confused state, that she wasn't thinking straight, came back to the Galleria area, parked her car, and wandered off.
I've been looking for my phone for 36 hours.
We do not suspect any foul play or any kind of suspicious activity attached to this incident at all.
There's no evidence to indicate that she was assaulted at this time. Now, if a more thorough investigation may reveal something different, but at this time, we do not believe anything criminal occurred to her.
Is there any more information about this? Because this is very strange. The bizarre disappearance of this college football reporter resulted in a crazed 32-hour search.
I'm not going anywhere, but here comes the flash.
Blah, blah, blah. She went missing. Fell off the radar. Nope. Police reveal what missing reporter told them when she was found. She told police she had a severe reaction to medication. Caused her to become confused and disoriented. The disappearance of Courtney Rowland caused alarm. After she sent nonsensical text to her mother and her roommate, called police Sunday, saying Roland had expressed concern that a suspicious man was following her. Why would you write that? I don't think they've published the actual text, but they are saying that she also texted her roommate saying, someone is following me. But then she was found near Chick-fil-A. I just wanted a sandwich, but they were closed on Sunday, so I've been sitting here since then waiting for them to open. Wow. Did she have any water, I wonder, in that time? If you were lost for that long, I guess she'd probably be fine in a day and a half with no water. Still. How strange. Watch her just be on TV again in a week. Like, well, nothing happened. It's me again. Can I have some of that medication? All right, this has been News with Nick. Thanks for coming out. Thank you for Daniel Bergoglio's paying off my mortgage and all those things. All right, it has been News with Nick. Thanks for coming out. And check out the show when it's done from Pittsburgh next week. Bye.